it's been a cold and snowy and gross couple of days.
Oh, God, yeah.
Right? But let's keep in mind, Tommy, we're only a few weeks away from the sunshine and the blue skies and the nice weather.
Come on.
Why not spend it at a place with a beach resort, great places to eat and drink?
Yeah, get away.
I'm not talking Florida.
No.
I'm talking a place just down the road.
Mm-hmm.
A place that, according to one person who wrote us, actually a lot of people, is not a place for everyday people anymore. It's Wednesday. It's 8 o'clock. It's time for Hate Mail of the Week. You're hanging out in the breaker. Rutch, just classic rock, 96.5 WCMF. And this letter starts with a list.
Oh, okay.
2 weeks ago, we had in front of us the 8 best lakeside towns in New York State. Mm-hmm. And we assumed that one of those cities, towns, would be right down the road from
us. Yeah.
Canandaigua.
Been number one for years.
But we were wrong.
Mm.
Canandaigua, with its new resorts, multi-million-dollar homes, bars, restaurants, shopping, is somehow, according to this article, not a top 8 New York lake town.
But why?
We couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
We were shocked. We were offended. We wanted justice. But it turns out, not making this list was the least of the town's problems.
Really?
At least according to a couple of people who reached out to us after we got off the air. And one person may have summed it up the best in a letter that he sent us.
What happened?
According to him, it doesn't matter what list Canandaigua makes.
Yeah.
It's not anything any of us can really enjoy anymore anyways.
Yeah.
Will you listen?
Out of touch.
Listen. I just need you to hear.
They forgot about us. I'm listening.
Hear what he's saying before you be a dick.
Mm-hmm. The Millionaire Mile.
Actual physical letters sent to the mail telling us we suck, wanting us fired, and it is a man who wrote us today, but once again,
yes,
the role of this man
okay
will be played by our own, Kimmy.
I'm writing you about Canandaigua not being a top lake town in New York. You know why that is? Because regular people don't get to enjoy Canandaigua anymore. I was born and raised there. Outside of the 7 years leaving for work, I've lived there my whole life. And I've seen Canandaigua go from a nice lake town with fun and interesting things to do to a wealthy playground that only allows people with money to take advantage.
Elite.
Try going to the beach on a hot day in the summer. You can get near the water if you're a millionaire with a house on the water or spending thousands of dollars to stay at a resort. Try getting your boat in and out of the water. Some days it can take an hour or two just waiting in line. The restaurants and bars all cater to the rich crowd now, and the small-town community feel that used to exist was sold out to the rich and powerful who swooped in to entertain themselves and leave the normal people fighting for their crumbs.
Normal.
I don't care Canandaigua isn't a top town in New York because it's not for me and it's not for you unless you have money most other people don't have. Sincerely, Mark.
Mark is hot.
Busted-ass Mark.
Okay. He's a lifelong Canandaigua resident, right, according to his letter.
Mm-hmm.
He now despises the community that he lived in.
Well, because they did Millionaire's Row. They just turned their nose up.
Can't afford it.
Playground.
Dirty Mark.
Playground for the rich. Nothing.
Playground for the rich. You make it sound like Mar-a-Lago.
Well, I'm telling him that's what he said. I don't live there. You don't live there.
Well,
I don't
every
know.
Every time I've gone down there, it has not changed. There was one resort that like upgraded nice.
Oh, no. There's more than one resort now.
The restaurants are the same. They still got the ice cream shop. They got a coffee place. They got a hot dog joint.
Yeah, but can you afford?
I can afford a hot dog.
Can you afford Beluga caviar ice cream?
Oh, that sounds delicious.
All right. The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. And I want you to keep in mind, because you're getting very mad, and I'm going to let you have your time. I'm going to let you have your time. I don't know why you're getting mad.
Can't put my boat in the water no more. It takes an hour to get it in.
Does Mark have a point? Because you have never lived there.
No.
I have never lived there. Kimmy has never lived there. And it's one thing to go down and spend a day, right, and look around and go, oh, this is nice. But is Mark right about the community of Canandaigua?
That the common man can't put my boat in the water. When a working man can put his $65,000 boat in the water, being towed by his $85,000 Ford F-150. We just left America. So.
I mean, but look, if you got that much money and you still feel like an outcast.
It's always been a boater's place.
No, but I mean, there's a difference. I mean, you know this, man.
But there's kayakers. There's like windsurfers down there. There's regular people with rowboats and
rowboats? What's the last time you saw a rowboat on Canandaigua Lake?
Oh, I love a rowboat.
Yeah, what, you got a guy in a mandolin.
Yeah.
Canandaigua.
But to say, like, first of all, yes, money has gone into the Finger Lakes all of them over the last 20 years.
Does seem like Canandaigua got the most of it, but go on.
Well, because it was the nicest area.
Okay.
But it, obviously people are enjoying it, hence why it takes so long to get your goddamn boat in the water.
Hence why.
Hence why.
Henceforth why boat.
Henceforth why boat in water.
Canandaigua! I mean, I don't know why you're getting offended,
but
though.
There's regular restaurants. The joint that burnt down, they rebuilt.
Well, they built it out of solid gold.
Yes.
The joint they burnt down.
It was like it's like a really nice diner down there.
I get that every community has places for regular people to eat. No, I'm not agreeing with
you. This guy's jealous.
Yes, I think it's pretty open that he's jealous of what has happened to his town.
So you don't want your town to, like, improve?
I mean, there is that delicate balance, though, because you do want to see a place, I would assume,
grow.
That the place you grew up in, you want to see it thriving, right? Like, you don't want to see it go to waste.
Go to Utica.
Crap.
The phone number is 252-WCMF. All right.
What?
There are two things that could be happening here with Mark's life. All right. Because I will agree with you. Everyone, as they get older, if they live in the same place, longs for what it used to be.
Yeah.
Right? And if we did a story in any town, the city of Rochester, Monroe County as a whole, we would get the same letter. Greece is not what it used to be.
I don't like change.
Pittsburgh, not what it used to be. WCMF, not what it used to be.
Well, that's true.
It's so easy.
It used to be good.
To read Mark's letter as an old man and assume he's just rambling about days gone by.
It kind of is.
But on the other hand, you know this is true,
right.
Canandaigua is unique in one way. It wasn't that long ago. It was just a town surrounding a lake.
Mm-hmm.
Before owning lake property was ungodly expensive, which is only fairly recently.
Yeah.
Before the Finger Lakes region, as you said, blew the F up in the tourism department.
The wine and all that good stuff.
I mean, look, we talk all the time about how Canandaigua has this weird mix of haves and have-nots.
Yeah.
It has a ton of wealthy people, and it has a ton of working class people.
Mm-hmm.
And it does kind of feel like, again, I will say this as an outsider, take it with a grain of salt. The population of working class folks in Canandaigua are leftovers from the past.
No, they're still, there's new working class people that live down there that have jobs.
Okay. I mean, are people moving in or are those folks that have always been lifelong residents? Like, if I wanted to move into Canandaigua now, could I afford to?
Well, where do you want to live in Canandaigua? You want to live on the water? Yeah, you're going to pay. But if you want to live in a small off lake suburb, I'm sure it's the same as any place else.
So a trailer is what you're saying?
No, a regular little house.
No, where though? I'm asking sincerely.
They have your standard neighborhood.
No, I get that.
What do you mean by where?
Where was the wrong question?
You were never going to be able to afford lakefront property, probably, since the 1960s.
Okay, no, I don't want to live on the lake. I'm saying if I want, let's say I get a job at a radio station in Canandaigua.
All right.
Big upgrade over here.
All right, so you're on the lake.
Yeah, exactly, yes. The lake.
Can't afford it anymore.
And I want to buy just a house in the neighborhood. Am I going to spend more or less than I would in Monroe County? In the greater Rochester area. In a place,
could it be that much more?
I'm asking a question. I don't know the answer.
I mean, it probably is more. Only because it's probably more limited than other suburbs. There probably isn't as much available. You know?
But that has nothing to do with the upscale Main Street.
Well,
and by the way, that actual Main Street hasn't changed in forever.
Why don't you go look at the stores now?
It's the same five of dimes.
It ain't.
What you got in there?
Alpaca.
Besides alpaca.
Five alpacas. China. From China. Chinese China.
You got that Eddie O'Brien's down there.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get it. Yes.
It's a sports bar.
Okay. There are places that have been there for a long time. Mm-hmm. But the places that are opening do tend to cater to folks with money. I'm just saying.
All right.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. By the way, Mark was not the only one that wrote us. We got some Facebook messages after we got off.
Yeah.
But we'll get to those in a second. Folks have been waiting patiently. Mark writes us hate mail of the week, talking about how Canandaigua didn't make this top eight lake towns in New York. Mark does not care.
Yeah.
He says, I grew up in Canandaigua. I've lived my whole life in Canandaigua. The Canandaigua I knew is not the Canandaigua now. It's for millionaires.
You priced out the little man.
We can't afford to do anything here anymore. Jimmy's on CMF. Hey, Jimmy, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, listen, I saw a study that's like one of the most expensive lakes to live on in the United States, like the top three. And I think he's right. I've done work with contractors down at some of these houses. You should see them going all the way into Guam along the lake.
Ah.
I mean, it's amazing how it's been built up for the wealthy. I don't think he's wrong. I really don't. In fact, when I was looking for a house, I live in Henrietta now, which the taxes are reasonable compared to some towns. Canandaigua was even higher per thousand than like Pittsburgh to live as far as living in Canandaigua at the time. You know, I agree with the guy. I mean, it's obvious.
Well, your ass was never going to move on to the lake in Canandaigua at any time in your life.
You're right, because I can't even afford OnStar. I mean, I'm talking to you on a flip phone.
Where is OnStar? If you need directions, let us know. We'll get you where you got to go, Jimmy.
Either way, though, seriously, I I'm not talking about right on the lake. There's some nice areas down there. It on the lake, but I look at the property taxes. They're up there.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know.
Jimmy doesn't like the taxes. We talking to taxes.
Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy.
Jimmy pays his bills.
Jimmy, I got to take some more calls, buddy, but thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, there goes OnStarless Jimmy. So I see you guys on hold. Sit tight. After we had this discussion 2 weeks ago about the list, Mark writes us this letter.
Yeah.
We also got Facebook messages from people after we got off the air. Julie wrote us, I don't know if Canandaigua is fun anymore because even though I live near there, we can't afford to do anything.
That's fun.
Kyle writes us, these lake towns are only good for one thing. Getting lunch there like twice a summer. Skinny Atlas, Canandaigua, Geneva, they all sell themselves as tourist places. Then when you look at what hotel rooms cost and the other parts of wine tours, you can't even think about going. Do you disagree with them?
I understand like the prices got up because it became more popular because people want to go down and enjoy it. You have something nice, people will come check it out.
But
it's kind of how it works.
But I get the frustration of being in a place your whole life, looking around and realizing it's not for me anymore.
But that's every place that becomes popular. Man.
Kimmy, I mean, do you think these people have a point?
I mean, they know best. They grew up there, right? But I do wonder, because you always remember things a certain way. And if let's say it hadn't changed at all, nothing about the town changed. But you change as a person. Would you still want to go to those same places that you went to growing up? Or would they even be the same as you remembered them growing up? Like, I don't know. I think things are supposed to evolve. I do understand that, like, when new stuff comes in and it's not even attainable, how that could be frustrating.
See, it's called nuance. You should Google it.
About nuance.
It's like the old aunts, but new.
Oh, more new aunts.
OnStar.
OnStar.
Because like there are places you loved going as a kid that you would not step foot in today.
Right? No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
It was for me at that time, but it probably wasn't great for the area in general.
252 WCMF. You know, we're talking about the cost of living in Canandaigua. That's the
picture. Too much.
We're slammed with Jimmy's today.
Oh, you're... I guess so.
I'm going to put like today. I'm like a Canandaigua resident. Jimmy 2 Electric Boogaloo's on CMF. Hey, Jimmy, how are you, buddy?
What's up, guys?
Yo!
So, I feel that property values in the Finger Lakes overall have gone up, and property values across the United States have gone up, and one of the very big reasons I believe that is because of Airbnbs.
Okay, that's a decent point there.
Yeah, it's a popular spot for those, for sure.
These properties have all been bought up by conglomerates, okay, and they are driving the price up. I purchased my house on Lake Ontario in Kendall, okay, in 2016. Property value today is 100% higher. Like, basically, it's double.
Okay, now, Jimmy, hold on.
Yeah, but you're a Kendall millionaire.
That's only having $17.
A Kendallaire, they call them.
Jimmy, let me stop you, though, because, look, I understand that there are, like, corporations buying up Airbnbs. Mm-hmm. Locally, though, and we've looked into this because that's been an argument made, these are actually people that are just wealthy locally buying second and third homes to rent them out. So I think going back to Mark's point, it's folks that have money that are pricing out in the community folks that don't have money. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, and those people that have money are the ones buying it and putting it on Airbnb.
No, that's okay, but they're not like a conglomerate. Right. You know what I mean? Like, there's a difference there.
I understand that, but you have your big boys and then you have your small big boys.
Yeah, but it's nice. But you're getting like shakedown. But it's local.
This local nice. Shake.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Jimmy, I feel your frustration. I agree with you, man. But
you know, everything has just gone sky high, and in my opinion, houses in Rochester wouldn't be that high in demand if there weren't so many that were being bought and thrown on the rental market.
So it's this goddamn free enterprise we got going on. That's what we got to nip in the bud, son.
That's right.
All right, Jimmy. Thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day.
That sounds like commie talk to me.
Man who owns a lake, who owns a lake home advising communism.
Yeah.
Right, you know, you take salt. All right, I guess the grand question here is we wrap this all up. And if you're on hold, I'm sorry. We've run out of time. I would love to keep talking to you, but, you know, conglomerates and all. If these places have become so expensive, Canandaigua, let's stick with Canandaigua just because that's the one we know best. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? Because It's bad if you're looking for something to do and you feel like you've been priced out of your hometown. That frustration is understandable. But, and I don't want to sound like a one percenter here, fact is, new businesses coming to town, they do create jobs.
Yes.
Right? I mean, there are chefs who get to stay close to Rochester when in the past they would have had to go to bigger cities to spread their wings.
Yeah.
Like we've seen people come back in Canandaigua. There are waitstaff and bartenders who make more money selling more expensive stuff than they did 20 years ago. There are probably shop owners on Main Street who, if what Mark is saying is true, they're probably selling more.
Yeah, they get all this foot traffic.
And they get
high
to,
end.
And they get to open up shops they wouldn't have been able to 5-10 years ago.
So it's called, what's that word, prosperity?
Well, no, but I mean.
But it is.
But here's the thing. But when it comes to prosperity, you are just picking up the crumbs of the ultra rich that are coming through.
But that's how it works.
Yeah, it doesn't have to.
And by the way, 50 years ago, people didn't want to come to this area. Now you're people that want to come from New York City to hang out here.
Sure,
that
sure.
That wasn't happening 30, 40, 50 years ago. People thought this place was a dump.
I know, but going back to Kimmy's point that she made a second ago, that sounds great until all of a sudden you see some of the side
you don't
effects.
Get to enjoy it.
Exactly.
But the side effects you also benefit from, to your point.
Maybe.
Everybody's spending their money. They're throwing it around. Not everybody that works at that store is a millionaire, right?
What do you mean? No, that, but
that's what I'm saying. They're clerks. They
have
jobs.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. But
that's how it goes.
Okay. All right. Tommy is all for the one percenters using our, stomp it all over our community, using it as their playground.
And you can't stay here, but you can stay over there. Then you can come in here and service. That's how America started.
What?
Yeah. You come over here. You
don't ask him to.
No, you're right.
We need the food, but you got to live over there.
Okay.
Yeah. But then they get good, and they come in, and we shove the other people over
what
there.
What the hell are you talking about?
We just keep pushing people around. That's America, babe. We push people around.
Let's take a break.
All right, get out of here.
You know, as we're talking,
your shift's over. Go home.
This is a thing?
What happened?
Well, it's a thing enough where there's articles now telling people how to do this.
All right.
Now, look, it would be ballin' as hell and even economical in the long term.
Great.
But it could also be a real douchebag move. Because here's the thing, man. If you did something like this, it would be such an experience, you would have to brag. And I don't know, even if it's a good idea,
yeah,
if you could tell someone you did this and not come off like a smug a-hole. You're hanging out on the breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. We'll jump right into
yeah.
it. In front of me, I have an article.
What does it say?
You ready for the title?
I'm ready.
Everything you need to know about buying a barrel of whiskey.
Damn,
like
barrel.
The whole,
an actual barrel.
Yes, the whole
big
barrel.
Big-ass right. Jack Daniel's barrel of whiskey.
Yeah, you got it. Whatever whiskey you're into.
Mm-hmm.
So according to this article, buying barrels of whiskey, like regular everyday people,
yeah.
has become more popular over the last few years.
Really?
And here's how it works.
Mm.
You go to a distillery. You walk through their barrel room.
Yeah.
And you decide which barrel you will take home.
Right.
And there's a bunch of criteria they give you, how you can supposedly just look at a barrel or knock on it or smell it and figure out how good the whiskey inside is going to be.
Mm.
So they cannot sell you the whole, like, physical barrel to take home. There are laws in America that says they have to bottle it for you.
Oh, okay.
And every barrel of whiskey gives you a lot of whiskey.
Mm.
An American standard whiskey barrel.
How many bottles I go to get?
Around 200 bottles of whiskey.
That's 750 mil, like your standard?
Yeah, you got it.
Or wait, how many?
200.
200.
Damn, that's like 2 months.
And here's the thing. This could be the cheapest way to get whiskey if you have a brand you swear by.
Yeah, you buy in bulk.
You got it. Alcohol.
It's the BJ's of barrels.
Alcohol experts say it can work out to 1/2 to 1/3 of the price you
wow.
would be spending buying it retail by the bottle.
Yeah.
However, one, you'd be spending all of that money up front. And two, you'd need to have a place to put 200 bottles of whiskey.
Well, you could store it in your basement even, really, just in cases.
200.
Yeah.
That's way more yeah. than you think.
So you get...
Was it 6 to a case?
No. The standard bottle?
Yeah.
Probably 12.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, it's double.
Yeah, no. Yeah. All right, so that's 10.
A lot.
It's like 15.
15 boxes
case?
Of booze.
Where would you put
you
that?
You got 15 boxes of crap in your basement you could probably throw out, make room for something useful.
All right, Kimmy, can you do
like
me
alcohol.
A
throw out the goddamn books you ain't reading.
I got the calculator ready. What do you need?
Okay, well, no. I just
and get rid of the calculator.
I wanted to know if you can Google mm-hmm. what, give me a middle-of-the-road American whiskey. Want to go with Jack Daniels?
Yeah, Jack Daniels is a quality brew.
Can you see if you can find what an American barrel, American standard whiskey barrel of Jack Daniels would cost and if they sell those to consumers? Because I am curious how much I would have to invest up front. Because what? I mean, what's a bottle of Jameson cost right now?
The standard bottle is probably about $35.
All right, so that times 200 would be a lot of money. But
thank you.
No, I'm calculator. Just saying, man.
Where is that calculator? Yeah, all right.
Would you be down for something like this?
Oh yeah, my wife would not be, but yes,
okay. Because I mean, the experience in itself.
We'd have to throw out all that Christmas crap. I'm so done with religion.
But like, just the experience of like walking through the distillery and picking out your barrel.
And I'd always have it there.
Yeah. You never have to go to the liquor store ever again.
Well, yes, I would.
Okay.
But not for a while.
I mean, it's like a once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing. It may also be something like you, a buddy or two, could go in on together.
Yeah, you could.
Right?
Yeah.
So fun guy's trip to some distillery in Kentucky or something like
that?
Have
a barrel buddy.
But even if it's economical and it saves you time, buying a whole barrel of whiskey does seem like it could be a little,
alcoholish?
Say? Well, that.
It's going to encourage you.
Further,
more because it's going to feel like it's unlimited.
Also that, because it would.
Mm.
But it does make it kind of douchey, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Because you'd have to show your buddies.
And you'd have to brag about the experience.
And I really don't want to, if you really want to be a douche, you don't want to keep it in boxes in the basement. You want to display it on a wall.
All of your whiskey bottles.
If you walked into a guy's house,
yeah,
and he's got 200 plus bottles of booze on the wall, that's pretty cool.
By the way, they do say there are also distilleries that once they empty the barrel, they will send you the barrel as well. So you could have the barrel that held the whiskey.
Oh,
that
it's like it the womb of your whiskey.
But like some guys say they make tables out of it and stuff like that.
So back a while ago, like that was like a big thing to buy whiskey barrels and turn them into smokers and tables. Yeah.
Yeah.
But even buying the whiskey barrel itself, empty barrel, is expensive.
Okay.
If you just want the barrel, you could pay a couple $100 for just the
just
barrel.
The wood.
Yep. Yeah.
Without,
because we used to sell them at the old Winn-Dixie I worked at.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So you could buy. So I bought one. And here's the dumb thing I did as a kid. I just bought that condo. So I figured like if they were pretty cheap, right?
Yeah.
So I'll put my TV on it.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, right?
Sure.
So I put it and it was carpet on the bottom.
So
and
it
was this huge rusting on my carpet.
Gross.
That I had to replace because you couldn't get it out. They don't tell you these things.
Is it? Yeah, because who's an idiot that puts a whiskey barrel on carpet? You drunk?
Well, it was kind of new.
All right, 252-WCMF. Is there anyone listening that has had this experience? Because I had never heard of something like
this
before.
Buy bulk whiskey like out of one single barrel.
Yeah, you got it. But it seems like this is becoming a popular way to get your alcohol.
Yeah.
Kimmy, do we have any price on what an American standard barrel of Jack Daniels would cost?
Okay. It says... it generally starts at $10,000.
Whoa!
Whoa!
Yeah, but it'll vary by barrel yield and local market price of product.
And that's for Jack Daniels? That's whiskey, period.
It says Jack Daniels.
Okay.
It says each barrel typically yields about 240 bottles.
That's a party.
Where does it say?
All right, Kimmy, can we divide?
That's a lot of Manhattan.
You said you had your calculator ready to go.
Yep.
Can we divide 240 bottles by $10,000? Because that doesn't seem like it would be economical, does it?
No.
But I'm bad at math, so
I could
be wrong.
These bigger bottles?
Oh.
$41.
$41 a bottle.
That sounds about what you would pay in centuries.
So maybe it's not the economic. Maybe you're saving money if you're going to like a local distillery and doing something like
that.
But
you are getting a single batch of the bourbon. So instead of like you're not getting a blended, it came out of one barrel.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
So
maybe you're right.
Yeah.
It's going to have more of a standard taste to it.
Okay. Okay. Like, I wonder if a place like Iron Smoke does something like this here in Rochester where I can...
Because they do it right there, right?
Yeah. I mean, they distill it here in Rochester. So I wonder if I walked in Iron Smoke, if I could buy a barrel of whiskey.
He'd probably have a big smile on his face.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. So let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
As we talk about this experience of buying an entire barrel of whiskey, having 200 to 240 bottles of whiskey in your house...
Coolest guy on the block.
Is whiskey guy just as annoying as wine snob guy is now?
I think the rise of the whiskey guy, yes.
Okay.
Like, my dad was a whiskey drinker his whole life, but he didn't really care what whiskey he was drinking.
Gotcha.
Like, it's become more of a refined wine thing now.
Well, like, when your dad was drinking whiskey, and even when I was a kid.
There was only standard whiskeys.
Just a handful.
Right.
Like, now there are thousands.
Yeah.
And if you listen to whiskey guy, every whiskey has their own personalities and times which to enjoy them and different drinks that call for different flavors. It's a lot. It's a lot to deal with when whiskey guy gets going. And like a guy like you, Tommy, who likes whiskey, you got your standard whiskey.
Yeah.
You're into whiskey and you're not even into all the stuff whiskey guy wants
to talk
about.
I told you, my brother collected bourbon for years, all these rare bourbons. And he must have had hundreds of them in the house. And my wife goes to him, "What's your favorite?" He goes, "Well, I don't drink them." I just collect them. Oh. She goes, Tommy would have this thing wiped out in a month.
Why can't you get over the fact that he just likes collecting
them? Because it's such a dick thing. Yeah, they show you whiskeys. What's your favorite one? I don't drink them. It'd be like a car. It'd be like going to Jay Leno's car garage, but he never drove a car.
Well, does he share them? Or
no,
he just
he doesn't open them.
Oh, so he doesn't.
They are just
because I can understand having a variety if other people want to try it.
No, none of that. Weird. He just collects them, doesn't open, and then wants to like trade them as like an investment. Oh.
How long ago did he start doing this?
Probably 10 years.
Genius, because like whiskey, he made a great investment.
Yeah,
I mean, you know what these older whiskeys go for now. I mean, okay, Tommy.
Mm.
It feels like guys backed into snobdom with the whiskey that is available now. Like, we didn't even know what happened to us. Like, all of a sudden, we went from, like, I like whiskey to being a guy that people were avoiding at parties.
But this whiskey guy started out as something else.
What's that?
20 years ago.
What was he?
Cigar guy.
Ooh.
So cigars blew up, like, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And then people started pairing your cigars with your booze.
Okay.
So cigar guy, after a while, found out wife doesn't like you smoking cigars in the house or you coming home smelling like cigars. So cigars kind of went away, and the whiskey stayed.
That's a good take.
That's the morph.
That's a really good take. Although, I mean, if we're going to talk about a liquor that has a smell, I mean, whiskey's got a pretty strong smell.
Yeah, true, but you don't. But cigar guy coming home at night, you just reek of cigars.
Yeah, you're right. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. We're talking about this article yesterday. Apparently, it's becoming more common for people to buy entire barrels of whiskey until we found out that they can cost $10,000.
God damn.
But in that barrel, whatever you're spending for it, you get 200 to 250 bottles of whiskey, and they bottle it for you. They can't sell you the barrel with the whiskey in it, but they will sell you the barrel after it's empty, so you get all this stuff in your house. It would be a hell of an experience. You go pick out the barrel you want for yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had five buddies go in, $2,000, that's still steep. Nope.
It's a lot of money up front. Yeah, that's upfront money.
Yeah.
And you're going to be buying other booze.
Do you also have to, like, store this in a specific way?
No, that's the great thing about whiskey. It's not like wine. It's like not very temperamental.
But you got to keep it out of the sun.
Yeah, but when it's in the barrel, though, does the barrel have to be?
You don't get the barrel.
Yeah, you don't get the barrel. They bottle it for you. You can't have the barrel. It's illegal.
I thought you got the barrel.
You get the barrel empty.
Okay.
The empty barrel comes.
I see.
Yeah, like, wine's pretty temperamental. I don't think whiskey's the same.
Okay. Remember when we were talking about douchebags a second ago? Did you just say wine is pretty temperamental?
It is. It can't take any extreme.
In a shacket and a ribbed turtleneck sweater,
I know
you looked me in the face and said wine is pretty
the shoes.
Temperamental. I'm not even looking at your shoes after.
And my pattern sucks.
Temperamental.
But you know what I mean.
No, I don't. I don't
know.
I mean,
there's a reason why like whiskey was enjoyed by pioneers and not wine. It wouldn't keep.
Okay.
So that's why they drank whiskey. Okay. And they also thought the water was dirty.
Now he's doing history. Let me explain to you the history.
By the way, did any of it sit around long enough to go bad anyways?
Not in my house.
Do you judge a guy that doesn't have a go-to brand of whiskey?
That's a drinker?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Okay. Especially if you're my age, you're pretty product loyal, don't you think? I mean, you get kind of locked into what you like.
I mean, I would think even by the time you hit 30, you're pretty loyal.
I mean, when I started like figuring out what I liked, I kind of zeroed in. That's why it always bothered me, like, when I would go out drinking with a guy, what are you drinking?
Yeah.
Like,
well, I can understand, though.
It's still weird that you
bothers you. But that's weird.
You're weird.
Like, if I went out drinking with your dad, who's been a drinker his whole life.
Yeah.
And he wasn't locked in onto a brand, I would find that weird.
But I can understand why they'd ask you that, because they don't want you to judge what they're drinking. Like, let's say they drink a lower-end whiskey, and if you're like a, you know, you're kind of a whiskey snob, I would say, well, I'll have what you're having, so you don't judge me.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. And you bring up my dad and her dad. Our dads are up for whatever has alcohol in it.
Yeah, he's going to mix it with Coke anyways.
Oh. Hey, oi.
Oh,
oi.
Oh, oi. Oh.
No good.
I'm jumping on the snob train with Tommy now. Well, no, because, I mean, it used to be the way you had your standard whiskey and you drank it all the time, right? But now, I mean, you can walk into somebody's house who likes whiskey, and it's way more likely they have a selection.
Yeah, like these regional bourbons and stuff like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah. And then they'll also have tiers depending on who they're serving in their house. That was a wine move.
Oh, yeah.
It's now
that's where they got it from.
By the way, there's nothing more insulting than, like, when somebody, you're at somebody's house and, like, would you like a glass of whiskey? And I go, sure. And they walk over to their bar or like where they keep it, and like they put their hand up and then they move it down to the middle shelf.
Oh, yeah, like, you're a middle shelf guy.
I'm not top shelf whiskey guy. I am a guest in your home, you douchebag.
So now, you know, they do these pairings too, like these restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
They do these whiskey nights, and what pairs well, like what food with whiskey? That's a scam, man.
I agree with you.
The only thing that goes well with whiskey is an arrest and a cigarette.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
Because I have met guys who are like, well, if you're going to eat this, to your point, you have to. I can't eat and drink whiskey at the same time.
I can't eat and drink.
It doesn't pair with anything?
Well, I can't have a cocktail with dinner.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm with them.
No. I have
like
a drink.
Like, if you're out to eat, you don't drink?
No, I'll have a drink. Even at home, like, if we have cocktails around 4 and we're going to eat by 5:30, yeah, I'll finish that drink. Oh. I'm going to eat, and then I'll go back to drinking. Yeah. I don't drink.
The food ruins the drink.
They don't work.
I'm glad that we agree on that.
Yeah.
Because, like, when I see people do that, where they'll mix, like, you know, a drink with
dinner. Yeah, because I thought, like, certain foods went with different liquors.
No. That's a scam. It's a total scam.
And no story.
Okay. Have you ever tried?
It's a scam.
Have you ever tried, like, a pairing?
No, it doesn't appeal to me.
What does it matter? Sucks.
I think it would affect both.
Maybe you'll like it.
One would affect the other.
Well,
they wouldn't pair.
I don't know.
Scrambled eggs and whiskey?
I'm not a chef.
Oh, God.
Like, I'll have a beer maybe every once in a while if I'm out having, like, a burger and fries or something like that.
But even that, I'll probably finish the beer then go and eat.
Beer?
Yeah.
That's, like, the most basic American combination is a beer and a hot dog.
No, but I prefer... Okay, beer and hot dog's different.
Pat goes for the hot dog first, and then he completely forgets about the beer.
The only junk food...
Maybe later to get the taste out of his mouth.
The only junk food you eat, you have one hot dog once a year.
Yes.
Shut up, you bitch. They're going to try it again.
What are they going to do?
They're going to do it a little bit different because they know that when you tell someone you can have all the stuff you want, you're going to come in.
Mm.
But that, is at least according to them, is what buried them in the first place.
But they're going to... Why?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5. WCMF will jump right into it. It's been a rough run for Red Lobster the last couple of years. Mm. They were put into bankruptcy. They were bought up by a larger chain or larger like conglomerate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they closed some stores along the way. For example, the Red Lobster in Henrietta no longer operating. Right. The Red Lobster in Greece still open. Mm. And they want people to come back to Red Lobster.
So what are they going to lure me in with?
They are bringing back Lobster Fest.
Lobster Fest.
And they say this will be the best Lobster Fest ever. In fact, they're calling it GLOAT. Greatest lobster of all time.
Damn. So what do I get with my lobster?
So you can choose...
Besides lobster.
Well, you get lobster. You can choose your lobster in a whole bunch of different combinations.
Okay, how it's prepared.
Yeah, exactly. For example, you can mix and match up to 3 lobster entrees. Think of it as the tour of Italy at Olive Garden.
Oh. Mm.
If I'm not mistaken, at one point at least, Olive Garden and Red Lobster were owned by the same company.
Oh, I believe you're right. Know that.
Yeah. So anyway, now... This is a debatable topic because Red Lobster claims the reason they went into bankruptcy in the first place was because of the last endless shrimp promotion they ran.
Yeah, the shrimp buried them.
You got it. That they underestimated how many
how much shrimp
per customer they would be selling. And they said they lost somewhere in the realm of like $10 to $20 million.
God damn.
Now, when I say that's debatable, there is also the whole issue of like conglomerates buying them up and chopping things.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So, but. Because of the debacle with the endless shrimp, whether or not a bankrupt them, they will be putting guardrails on this Lobster Fest promotion.
So it's limited.
Yes. It looks like it will be limited to 3 lobster entrees. You won't be able to just keep getting plates of lobster.
It's not unlimited.
Because I told you, that's what almost killed my dad. Legitimately.
What do you mean almost killed him?
So my dad was in a nursing home, so that Red Lobster was running one of these lobster specials, and they were like the whole main lobster. You can get like, and I think it was like all you can eat for a price, whole main lobster's claws and all.
Okay.
So he tells my brother, I want to go down and do it. So they go down on a Sunday, and Sundays at Red Lobster in the South, it is packed. Everybody just coming home from services, right? Mass, church, whatever. It's packed in there. Everybody's in their finery. Here come my mom and dad from the nursing home. My dad and mom are both in wheelchairs. My brother and my sister-in-law are wheeling them in. They sit down. And my father puts on a clinic.
Bibs on, ready to go.
Bib on. He is pounding lobsters and he's pounding Manhattans.
Okay.
My old man would drink a double bourbon Manhattan with an extra shot of vermouth on the side.
Kimmy, they call that a Mule Manhattan clam chowder.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, clam chowder you speak of. So he is pounding. He's pounding his Manhattan. My old man can drink like by the way, that's like 4 drinks.
Okay.
3-4 drinks, right? He can pound 6 to 8 of those things.
Oh, my God.
At a sitting at a lunch, all right?
Oof.
Pounding those, pounding lobster. So at one point, he's done. And he sits back like some robber baron in the 1920s, right? Oh, my God, this is...
Oh,
and he
no.
He proceeds in the middle of a high Sunday packed house. He turns into this Greek fountain of lobster in Manhattan out and splatters all over the table, hitting people on the side.
Oh.
There's kids and stuff. He gets sick all over the place. The best part is he didn't leave.
Wait, he kept eating?
He wanted to finish his drink. My brother goes, no, we got to go. He also said, hey, you know, if they had just been to Mardi Gras a while back, so they had Mardi Gras beads on them, he wanted to hand out Mardi Gras beads to people.
Full of vomit?
Full of vomit.
Oh, my
and my
God.
Brother goes, no, man, we got to get out of here. We got to get out of here now. But back then, you could just continually eat lobster for like one price.
That wouldn't like ruin lobster for everybody in a restaurant after that.
It ruined just eating.
Okay, so for that reason, Limited Lobster Fest also sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Mm. As we talk about Red Lobster bringing back Lobster Fest under this new conglomerate that owns them to try and bring people back in, I think you can make the argument that we don't really need Red Lobster anymore.
Why is that?
It's not a fine establishment.
Where else are you getting seafood?
All right, there was a time.
Was it lobster time?
Thank you. We're the only place you could get stuff like this in most communities outside of, like, you know, the coastal U.S.
Right.
Was Red Lobster.
But who's pushing lobster besides that around here?
Look, even now the smallest of grocery stores can sell you lobster.
You can buy they got the live tanks.
Yeah, and not only
you know what you're doing in the kitchen.
It's not hard to cook lobster.
It's not, but a lot of people might be a little bit scared of that.
Killing something live. Boiling it to death.
No, but they'll sell you like the lobster tail that's already all cut up and ready to go. Like, it is not, it's expensive.
You can get lobster,
but it's not hard to do. It's not hard to prepare. I mean, think about all the
hoops. You're not getting all the sides and the biscuits.
You're right.
You can buy the biscuits, though, at Wegmans.
You can.
Yeah, they never come out the same.
It's true.
It's not good.
But I don't know where else I could sit down and eat lobster at a reasonable price around here.
Okay, and I don't know. I mean, Kimmy, you can also attest, like, a lot of these hipster restaurants will sell you all kinds of lobster dishes.
Yeah, but to his point, it's not as affordable in most cases as it is.
And I gotta go to the weird restaurants where you eat, where it's like, you gotta park over here, walk over there.
You're probably getting smaller portions.
Everybody's speaking a different language. I don't know what the hell's going on.
What the hell are you talking about?
I hit the menu, I don't even understand.
You mean the distillery?
Yeah,
where they'll sell you lobster mac and cheese?
That's not the same.
That's one of the dishes they're offering.
But we're talking like full-on seafood menu.
What Italian restaurant do you go to where you can't get shrimp or lobster linguine?
You can get that, but like to get like a steamed whole lobster.
Okay.
I don't think there's many places at all where you can get that around.
But I don't know how many people are buying steamed whole lobster. I think the reason why they do this promotion now is because they know people don't want to see the bug on their plate. They just want the meat in whatever they're eating.
Give me the meat.
Because, I mean, lobster, shrimp, they are bugs.
Yeah, they're
shrimps
bugs.
Is bugs.
Yeah, they's bugs.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm fine with it. They're delicious bugs. But, I mean, it is a little jarring when they put that whole lobster on your plate.
Yeah
but that's so good.
I agree.
That big-ass claw meat, I love me some claw meat.
Mm, sweet like claw meat.
Meat. Sweet as your lips, darling.
Pass that.
Yeah.
Who's got lobster money right now?
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, serious question. Budgets are tight. Lobster dinner, even at Red Lobster, is a luxury dinner item.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been. But lobster's always been a top-shelf item. It's never been like, oh, lobster, pretty cheap.
Well,
ain't like a can of tuna.
Well, no. I mean, you do go to some places where the lobster is legitimately cheap.
Yeah, but you're kind of close to the coast.
No, I get you. But, like, I mean, that's the one cool thing about traveling for a living is you can go get a lobster dinner for, like, $12.
Yeah, you want to go to Cape Cod and eat next to JFK Jr. He's going to tell you don't eat it.
Not JFK Jr.
Yeah, RFK Jr. JFK we got?
How far into the ocean are we going to see JFK Jr.?
Yeah, but he's really close. He can get you the good ones. Probably something hanging off of
him. Oh, my God. Okay.
I got that wrong, Jr.
Look what you did, you monster.
What?
That joke was your fault.
Oh, it's not a bad joke. One of them JFK, RFKs.
Ks, FKs. One of them FKs. How about that?
One of them juniors.
Let's take a break.